Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it.
All about control,
and if you can take it.
All about your debt,
and if you can pay it.
It's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it?
I am the game,
you don't wanna play me.
I am control,
no way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt,
no way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder,
ready to run,
like a Cleveland bitch
from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I made the rules.
So move on out,
you can die like a fool.
Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be.
Come on over, sucker, why don't you ask me?
Don't you forget there's a price you can pay.
Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Alright, let's move on. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this here show. Like I said, we are going to go over an ADP price check, kind of see where everything is sitting right now. We're going to be using 4-for-4's ADP. Like I said, I think we've noted before, it's 6 different sites that they take data from. So kind of get an aggregate there, get some different opinions across some different places. So we're going to start off with the quarterback position. Robbie, why don't you go ahead and kick us off? Who's someone that you want to talk about with their ADP?
Yeah, I think I'm going to buck the trend a little bit here, because every podcast I think I listen to, and I'm sure most of them, always advocate for wait on QB, draft QB, 10th rounder later. You know, they're not about the early round QB. And I agree with that for a lot of reasons. But I think this year we have a player that's going a little bit later than, you know, the top 2-3 rounds, that I think can finish as a guaranteed top 3 quarterback, if not push for the number 1 quarterback. And that's Dak Prescott this year. And I think if you just look at last year alone, people underestimate how good of a year he actually had, because they try and put actual, you know, Cowboys production on there, and they forget to separate the fantasy out of there. I mean, Dak had 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns to go along with, you know, 350 yards, and ended up being QB2 and actually paced out per game as QB3, just behind Lamar and Deshaun Watson. And so if you just have that as a baseline with Amari Cooper banged up a little bit, Michael Gallup, you know, out for a couple weeks, 53-year-old Jason Witten, you know, running routes out there. You know, I just think that with an increase of CeeDee Lamb, you know, kind of rounding out that trio of wide receivers, a healthy Cooper, you have Blake Jarwin, who's an obvious upgrade over Jason Witten. I just think that the sky's the limit now for Dak, so who is already a QB2, 3 on a weekly basis. And then, you know, on top of that, you add in the defense that got a little bit worse. They're going to have to pass more. Like, they lost Robert Quinn. They lost Byron Jones, their top corner, and their top, not their top rusher, but he had the most sacks last year. And so they're going to struggle a little bit more on defense. There's a lot of new faces. I think they have 4 new starters. So they're going to have these growing pains. And so, yeah, if you just add all that up together, I think Dak is locked up in that top 3 QB. He's not in this QB tier that we're currently drafting him at in the 4th round. We're drafting him around Watson, Wilson, Murray, you know, in the 4th and 5th round. And I think that is just too low for a quarterback that I, in my opinion, should be a top three lock and could be two or quarterback one. So I think at middle of the fourth, late in the fourth, and even early fifth in some drafts, that is just a really good position to just lock up. You don't have to stream the position. You don't have to play around with who's got the better start. You know, plug and play. Don't worry about it. Set it and forget it.
Kev, what are your thoughts on the early quarterback approach? Right now, Dak is going at 407, according to 444. And like Robbie said, right after that at 409 is Russ Wilson, and Deshaun Watson is going at 410. Are you going to be willing to pull the trigger on Dak in the fourth, toward the end of the fourth there?
No. I mean, listen, I love Dak. Like, and I have Dak ranked, like, I think I have him at QB2. I actually have him ahead of Lamar Jackson. So I'm expecting a little bit of regression from Lamar Jackson. But I think they're all in the same tier. I think they should all be in the same tier. And I think that's fair. I think that's a very fair point. I have no problem with that. But Patrick Mahomes is being overdrafted. Lamar Jackson is being overdrafted. And I will never, ever draft a quarterback before probably the sixth round. Like, it will never happen. Like, if Dak were to fall to the sixth, fine. I'd love that. But there's no way I would ever draft a quarterback in the fourth round. It just doesn't make any sense. I think the position, you know, that we're looking for, like, there's still not a huge difference between Dak at QB3 and really getting Russell Wilson or a couple of these other guys like Matt Ryan that's going later, or even Matt Stafford, who was a top five quarterback through the first 8 weeks last year, who's going almost in the 10th round. So to me, it just doesn't add up, and I would never do it. If people do, and people are going to, fine. It's not as bad as taking, obviously, Lamar or Patrick Mahomes in the second or in the, you know, early third. But still, like, it's just those positions there are so valuable, because for me, how I want to run a draft and how I want to draft is I really, really want that late for, you know, picking in the back half of the first round, like picking 10th, 11th, like 12th. Like, for me, that is like the nut spot. Because I can draft, you know, I can go and get my two running backs that I really want there in those spots, whether it's Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, or Kenyon Drake. Like, getting one of those two, and then I can go wide receiver for the next three, four rounds, because I have my two workhorse backs that I got that now I'm happy with, and now I just hammer wide receiver for four rounds. And then I might consider, you know, a sixth, seventh round, depending on where my team looks, depending on the roster construction setups and everything like that, that I would maybe consider a quarterback. But I have never drafted a quarterback before the 10th round, ever. I normally draft a quarterback in the 14th or 15th round. Like, the position is just so deep. Like, even once you get to QB 20, 21, 22, 23, like, I still feel pretty good about a lot of those guys that are going there. And so the point difference between them, between the QB 20 and the QB 12, is usually not that much in terms of ADP at the end of the day. And so I just can't justify ever taking a quarterback that early.
Yeah, just to quickly rebuttal on that. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 4 points per game between Kyler and Dak last year, and they're going right next to each other in the fourth round. So if you want to talk about waiting to the sixth or seventh round, which normally I'm all about, like, the price has to be right. And people who take quarterback in the first two or three rounds, you know, first three rounds, I think that's kind of out there. But when you're talking about the fourth round, a guy that's, unless injury happens, is going to be a guaranteed top three guy, and he's going to score, let's see, we're talking the seventh round, so that's like Matt Ryan, maybe Aaron Rodgers or Carson Wentz. You know, last year he scored, you know, 4 points per week more than them, you know, 60-ish over the entire season. And now, in my opinion, I think he's only going to increase on that. So we could be talking like 6 points per week. You're talking about drafting Dak Prescott or, you know, rolling the dice on David Johnson at running back. Like, I'm just not going to do that in the fourth. I'd rather shore up the QB. Most of the times I'm with you. I will wait, grab somebody late. But I think this is one where a top-tier player has fallen so far where it just makes sense to do it. Cody, you got any thoughts? Break the tie? Nope.
I mean, not to jump, you know, head first into this hedge life here, but I think it really depends on who you're drafting with. Like, I think that's just something that's super important to know, is who are you drafting with? Because if you're drafting with a bunch of people who feel the way that Kev does, you know, you can get Dak in the fifth, and that price is fine. You know, if it's your typical home league draft, you know, office draft with, you know, a bunch of people who are just literally printing out the ESPN top 300, you know, the day of the draft, a couple hours before they go in, and they don't know what's going on, and they just see, oh, I could either have the 20th running back or I could have the second best quarterback. Like, I think those things are important, and it all just comes down to the price. Like, I think if I would be hard pressed to take that quarterback in the fourth, but I mean, I do fully believe that Dak. I mean, I honestly think he could be in the running for MVP this year with how everything is setting up. I mean, maybe not MVP, because I don't think they're going to be good enough. And like that award seems to go to teams that are making the playoff runs, right? So I don't know. Sure. I don't know MVP.
Fantasy MVP maybe is
yeah, but maybe is yeah, maybe that's a better way of saying it. But I mean, if you're looking in the right around where they're going, I mean, AJ Brown, I don't like that. But Calvin Ridley at 406. Dude, these running backs are so gross. It's going around them, like you were saying,
Robbie. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you want to have a question mark where you could literally fall flat on your face and not have a usable guy, or just a top option every single week? Don't have to think about it. You can play the waiver wire for your wide receivers. We've already talked about it too long, but I guess that's my one exception. Normally, I'm with Kev. You wait on QB. I think this year just presents an opportunity to just solidify that. Don't worry about these bad running backs in that area.
The thing is, though, is that the optimal approach isn't drafting a running back in the fourth round. And that's why I said, like, it's so important for me to try to get a running back in those first two rounds and then just hammer wide receiver, because we know the value there is that wide receiver in the third, fourth round. I mean, Allen Robinson now is getting closer now to the fourth round in terms of his ADP, according to 4 for 4's ADP right now. Like, he's like going 308 or something like that. Give me Allen Robinson all day over taking Dak Prescott, or even the fourth round, you know, all the wide receivers that are going in the fourth. Like, I'll take those guys all day over Dak Prescott. Because, like I said, I mean, again, Matt Stafford actually, you know, he got hurt last year, but a good example, he's going in the 10th round, and Matt Stafford averaged more fantasy points per dropback than what Dak Prescott did last year. And again, you're getting that at almost a, you know, 5 or 6 round discount. And so
he also has a broken back. So, I mean, there's a little risk built into that.
It's not that major of an injury. But he's fine. He's good to go this year. I'm not at all worried about Matt Stafford, but again, if it does happen, I draft him in the 10th round. I'm not worried about that. Right, I can go pick up another guy. I can stream it, but that's the whole point of the late round, you know, approach, and that's why most people go that route. I just think it's ridiculous. Dak Prescott, for me to draft him, would have to fall like 5th, 6th round, and then if he did, I was okay. Now that's a value that now maybe then I could consider taking him there, maybe. And I still probably wouldn't. I still probably would go a different direction, because my mind is not even thinking about taking a quarterback or a tight end in a 1B position anywhere before round 10.
All right, we got to move this along. We're already 20 minutes into it, and we are still on our first player. Kev was talking about not drafting anyone until after the 6th round. I'm going to bring up a 6th round quarterback that I want nothing to do with, and that is Josh Allen at QB7 in the 6th round. I personally can't do it. Kev, we already kind of know what your feelings are in taking the early quarterback. I'm sure there's no way in hell that you're taking Josh Allen in the 6th. Robbie, I'm not entirely sure of your thoughts on Josh Allen, but how do you feel about him there at QB7 in the middle of the 6th?
Yeah, I just stumbled upon him actually in my home league auction draft, and he was just a late guy that I like gotten like this. I don't know, one of the last nominations. I don't know how he fell that far. It was for like $4. So like that price was obviously way better. But yeah, man, that's a player that just has a lot more risk for me. And so if you're talking, just repeating basically everything Kev said, if the risk is there and we're talking about 6th-ish round, 5th round, I don't want to do that. I'd rather wait and play that upside guy. That, you know, I do like Josh Allen as a fantasy option. He obviously is going to be better with Stephon Diggs coming to town, but you hope he would. He can't get much worse of a completion percentage. But just echoing, kind of reversing my statement now on a player that I don't feel strongly and I'm not as confident on, I would rather wait for a different quarterback in that specific case.
Yeah, last year I happened to look at his FF calculator ADP at this time last year. It was QB 20 in the 13th round. And now all of a sudden, like, I think he is at QB7, you were buying him at his absolute ceiling. You know, and like, I don't see a big a big jump for him. I don't see a lot of room for growth. So that's just something that I cannot do whatsoever, especially in the sixth with all the different, especially wide receiver with that being so deep going around there. I would even take some tight ends over him. Kev, who is your quarterback you want to bring to this ADP price check? Who are you scanning on the barcode, buddy?
I just think Aaron Rodgers is still being overdrafted, despite the fact that he's going as like QB 12. Like, I just don't see what people see in him this year. I don't think anything's going to change from last year. They did absolutely nothing to upgrade this offense. Actually, you know, you still have, it's Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, and that's pretty much it. Like, Alan Lazard is just a guy. Marcus Valdes-Scantling is the same thing. Like, they did absolutely nothing to try to help out Aaron Rodgers. And I think that they're going to be exactly what they were last year. They are a run-first offense. They are not a team that wants to go out and throw the ball a ton. And so I don't know what people see in Aaron Rodgers. And I think at this point, he's just more of a name at this point. If had they went out and done more to upgrade this offense over this offseason, I would definitely be interested in that. Because, you know, in years past, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, the guy who goes as a top three quarterback every year. But now I just can't do it. I think he really should be going in the 15th, 16th, 17th round, not 12th. And I don't think that's really a hot take. I know some people will think that way because it's Aaron Rodgers and he still carries the name value. I still think Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. I don't think he's dust. But they just don't have the weapons. And I just don't think there's the volume is going to be there for him and this offense for you to get that kind of production out of him. So, you know, I think he takes a little bit more of a step back this year. And like I said, if anything happens to Davante Adams, it is going to be a long season for this team. Because like I said, they're a team that wants to run the football. They are not a team that wants to go out and air the ball out. And that's just not what I'm looking for in my quarterback. I would much rather just wait a few more rounds and grab some other guys. But I just don't understand. I still think he should be going later than what he is.
Yeah, the Packers have given us every reason to just sell on that passing game. Obviously, Davante Adams will get his, but, you know, just every draft pick between Jordan Love, you know, A.J. Dillon, then the tight end, like, they're telling you that they want to run the football and run the football. And it's just not the Packers that we're used to. And some people are still slower to get used to that. Maybe just your more casual fans just see that name, like Kev said, and that's why that ADP is still high. But no, listening to the beat writers, David Berger has his Dialed In podcast that has a really good interview with a Packers beat writer. And he said, you know, this offense has ups and downs. They literally just don't have any other proven weapons outside of their running game and then Adams. And so they're it's just that you have to change your philosophy with the Packers. It's not Aaron Rodgers airing it out. And so, yeah, he's a low end QB1 and maybe that's it. You know, there's not a ton of upside there. He's not getting his 35 touchdown seasons anymore.
The one thing I'll say on him before we move on to running back is I could see a potential increase in his volume, maybe just because last year I think they had the eighth or ninth fewest offensive snaps with a deficit. And I think, last year they went 13-3.
Yeah.
So not sure that that repeats. And, maybe we just see some more volume. We know LaFleur wants to be at least a balanced, if not a run-heavy offense. So maybe we get some added, like I said, some added passing volume with them not being able to lead in games like they were last year. But let's move on, Kev. I'm going to put you right back up. Let's move on to running back. Who are you bringing to the table now?
Well, I think any good fantasy analyst or fantasy gamer should we've sort of hit on this recently, but I think some of these guys we could talk about that we should be removing our take lock from. Right, we go all off season, we look into these guys. Whether you like him, you hate him. I know there's been people that didn't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out as a prospect. And I've seen people that still, for whatever reason, don't like him for the Chiefs. And I know there's a lot of people that think that he's being overdrafted right now, going early second, almost into the first round. And, like, I think history tells us that he's probably going to be a stud, right? Like, he's probably going to end up being, regardless of what you think of him as a prospect, being in this offense with Patrick Mahomes, like, nobody's stacking the box against Clyde Edwards-Helaire, okay? It's not happening. He's not going to see a stack front. He is going to be, you know, he's going to be what? The guy, third, fourth option most defenses are even going to be thinking about. No one's going to be, so for me, like it's gonna be really hard for him to fail. And now with Damian Williams gone, like it's really hard for me to see him. Like that's why I think he should be in most people's top six, top seven. And I think that's bare minimum. That's like the lowest he should be for people because it is absolutely wheels up. But there's other guys past that. Like for me, like Ronald Jones, like I went all offseason really hating Ronald Jones, and I still don't really like Ronald Jones, okay? But I'm a big enough person, and I'm a smart enough person to be try to be fluid in the way that I look at this and the way that, you know, you analyze the game and what's happening and understand that Ronald Jones is going to be a thing in 2020 and is going to be the lead back in Tampa Bay, and that holds value. I don't think he's going to be involved in the passing game as much as other people think he is. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's Dari Ogunbowale's role. However, I still think that getting him in the sixth round, that's too good a value to pass up there. You know, the lead back in this offense is likely going to be able to score some points and put up some points. So something like that. And then another one for me was Zach Moss. I hated coming out. I hated the hype. I didn't hate the players as much as I hated the hype on him. It sounds like he's going to be the man in Buffalo. And, you know, I think that he's essentially almost killed Devin Singletary. And you know, I think at the very least, he's going to get the goal line work. He's going to get touchdown opportunities. Obviously, Josh Allen has a say in that as well with what they do with him down there. But I think he gets probably 15 touches a game. And I think he's a better pass catcher than Devin Singletary. And he's going in the 11th round. You know, and so I think just for me, trying to be fluid with some of these guys like that, Leonard Fournette, I think, is another guy that a lot of people are stuck on. And I've just seen a lot of that where people don't want to let go of their initial take on something, and they will hammer that whatever happens. It could be anything that happens. Like, it's like Miles Sanders is another really good one for a lot of people and a lot of analysts who don't like Miles Sanders and or had a take, and they don't want to, you know, like move on from it. Like, here we are, we're like 2 weeks from the season starting, and there's still people like, you watch, they're gonna sign somebody and he's gonna be dead. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm like, so just be honest then, and just say it. You don't like Miles Sanders, you're exposing yourself, you're playing yourself, bro. Just say it and quit trying to like hide behind other things. And so I don't know, that's just for me. I think that's what more people should do. Everybody needs to be fluid and be willing to change their opinion.
Kev, I need to send you my Venmo then for our Rojo versus
Keyshawn
Vaughn.
Yeah, that one's dead. I'm pretty much screwed on that one.
I'll toss you my Venmo later.
Robbie, you're running back. Who is it?
Yeah, so Tom and I just did our busts for the Dino Show last night. And so I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I said there. But my bust right now for a running back, and this is like you want to nail your name to a take this year, it's Melvin Gordon going at running back 18 is just irresponsible drafting, honestly. Like, this was before he had like his little rib injury, which I think he's back from, but this is a guy that joined a team that we talk about signs with the Packers and what they're going to do. All signs point to the Broncos wanting to pass the football with Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, you know, Noah Fant. Obviously they bring in, you know, Albert O. They want to throw, and they want to throw often. Not to mention, it's a split backfield now. Like, Philip Lindsay beat out Royce Freeman. We forget that he's an undrafted free agent that beat out third round pick Royce Freeman 2 years in a row. After he did the first year, people were like, no, Royce was a little slow, he'll come back. No, he did it 2 years in a row, was the back, and he's not going anywhere. He's still. We've seen sound bites come out that they're going to be. It's going to be a split backfield. So you look at Melvin Gordon's history, he's basically lived off of his workload. You know, he's had so many carries where it's gotten him into that fantasy relevance and the receptions as well. So his efficiency is horrible. He's only had one season over 4 yards per carry. And with the offensive line that they have, they lost their center, who was the ninth graded center by Pro Football Focus. They lost their right tackle, who was an opt-out. They lost their right guard. They're going to have three new offensive linemen coming in. They're one of the worst-ranked offensive lines going into 2020. So if you look at that, you look at they want to pass the ball. It's a split backfield, and he's going to running back 18. Like, this is just complete irresponsible, even in PPR leagues, where I do think he'll get more receptions than Lindsay. Just can't do it personally.
I am going to piggyback off of that, and I'm just going to bring in the entire third and fourth round running backs that are going off the board right now, because I'm not sure I can really get behind any of them, but this is just how things are going in drafts right now. So here are the running backs that are going in a third and fourth. Maybe you guys can tell me anyone that you're targeting in this area, because it like honestly just feels like an entire section of running backs I'm avoiding through these two rounds. And that is Gurley, Fournette, Carson, Connor, Melvin Gordon, Bell, and DJ going at 4-12. Is there anybody in that group that you're actually excited to draft? Because to me, like, there are so many other like especially receivers, but I would even if one of the tight ends falls to that spot, I'd rather take a tight end in the third over any of those running backs. Are there any that you guys are targeting? Because to me, like I said, I'm just kind of I think I'm just out on running back in that entire area.
James Conner. James Conner is being criminally undervalued. I definitely would have no problem taking him. You know, we've done a video on that. Actually, me and Robbie had a debate over James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. And I think James Conner, now, of course, it's the if he stays healthy, which this is a contract year. I mean, everything that's come out from Mike Tomlin this offseason has said that he is going to be the lead back of this offense. We know he's going to get pass catching work as well. He's a guy that's probably going to get somewhere in the 18 to 20 range, and you're getting him, what, RB 20, RB 21? And so, you know, just this past year, the year before, he was going as a top 10 running back, some cases in the first round, early second, and now you're getting him, you know, at a two-round discount. So, yeah, I have no problem taking him. But again, you know, it's what I keep saying. Like, I want the wide receivers in the third, fourth, fifth round, like in those ranges, you know? And when I want to start thinking about running back again would be in the sixth, whenever, you know, Cam Akers and DeAndre Swift are on the board.
Yeah, just to follow up on that. And to answer my guy, KC, he's jumping in here asking about the Colts backfield. I think I am waiting on some of those guys. I did like Lev Bell, and I've been pounding the table for him. Gase just came out, or a beat writer actually wrote that, you know, they're actually splitting the workload a lot more than that absolutely necessary with Gore and Bell, which worries me a little bit. I thought Gore was just going to be an afterthought, but Adam Gase keeps on being Adam Gase. So I'll probably lower in my projections Lev Bell a little bit just to kind of adjust with that news. Be fluid, as Kevin says. But yeah, to jump in kind of even a little bit further, Kevin was just talking about those sixth round guys. You know, Jonathan Taylor, I think, is kind of that home run cut that Marlon Mack is going to start off being that running back, but we know that the talent is there with Jonathan Taylor, and eventually that backfield will be his behind the best offensive line in football with Phillip Rivers at the helm. They're not throwing, you know, 600 times. They're going to be one of the lower pass heavy teams, and I think more run heavy teams in the league. And so, yeah, if you're talking about a guy that just you want to jump over that upside of all, most of those backs that I think we just listed, I think you're talking about Jonathan Taylor.
I agree. I think that's how it's going to play out in Indy, is that he is going to end up being, by season's end, he is definitely going to be the lead back. And I think Nyheim Hines has a steady role as the pass catcher there as the satellite back. So that's kind of how I view them. But I've also gone back and forth because I also feel like that J.K. Dobbins, who's going pretty much two or three rounds later than Jonathan Taylor, might actually be the best value that's going right now in drafts. Because I definitely think that just as talented of a runner as a DeAndre Swift, I think he's more talented than Cam Akers. And I think it's only a matter of time before he takes over that backfield. And I think it could happen this year a lot sooner than people think. And I know Mark Ingram is still there, but I think that Mark Ingram is again on kind of on his way out of this team, and I think that they drafted J.K. Dobbins for a reason. And I think by week 8, J.K. Dobbins is the starter, and if that happens, that is an absolute top 5 back to finish the year. So I think he actually is probably for me one of the best late round or mid round values that you could get at running back because of where he's going, because he's not being valued up with some of these other guys, and I think he probably should be.
So for ADP purposes, you have Jonathan Taylor going in the mid fifth, you have Marlon Mack going at 806, and then Nyheim Hines is falling all the way to the 17th round. So
that's ridiculous. He should be going, especially if you just go back and look at Phillip Rivers in the last 3 years and how much he targets his running backs. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. He should be going so much higher. Like, he should be like 11th, 12th round guy, not a 17th round guy.
For this year, the only thing that not necessarily worries me about Jonathan Taylor, because I know he can absolutely do it. He can absolutely just ball out and force the coaching staff's hand. But I think that's what he's going to have to do on a consistent basis to be able to take over that backfield. Because from all indications, you know, again, have to take everything with a grain of salt, but these have been the steady reports we've been seeing, is that Marlon Mack is kind of, he's at least holding him off. He's at least not making it so obvious. It's like, okay, Jonathan Taylor is the unquestioned guy starting, you know, week 2 or anything like that. Kind of with what we're starting to see a little bit with Cam Akers and the Darrell Henderson situation. And then the other day you had the report coming out that Nyheim Hines was just everywhere and just catching everything around him. So for dynasty purposes, like I said before in one of the training camp videos, you draft Jonathan Taylor, you put your head on your pillow, and you sleep like a baby. But for this year, this is a confusing, not necessarily confusing, but it's a muddled backfield, because I think all three of these guys are going to be involved in some extent, and it's just going to be I do think it's a case of when Jonathan Taylor beats him out, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, like Kev was saying with J.K. Dobbins, like week 8, you know what I mean? Maybe something like that, but that's just.
So I think Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins, which I think Jonathan Taylor probably has a little bit more of a role early on than J.K. Dobbins, but I still think J.K. Dobbins is going to get 10 to 12 touches per game. But I think they're both kind of feel like Nick Chubb rookie year type plays. It's going to take them some time to really take over that backfield, because that's what happened with Nick Chubb. He started the year kind of getting just sparingly opportunities, and then they finally got rid of Carlos Hyde, and he just took off the second. And I feel like that feels more like in line with what Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins are probably going to be. I love Jonathan Taylor as well. Like, I think he could be the most talented back in this class, but for this year, it's going to be a little bit tough with Marlon, because I do think Marlon Mack is still, he's definitely going to have a role this year, and maybe more than what people want to believe. But I think at least at the start of the season. But I think as the season goes by, like, again, but taking him in the fifth round, like, that, you're not, you're losing, because I would, right there, I'd rather take a wide receiver, like, I instead of taking Jonathan Taylor and just a regular redraft. Like, I would rather take a wide receiver than Jonathan Taylor, because I don't want to have to wait until week 6, week 7 for that pick to pay off. I mean, to be honest with you, the smart move would probably be in a regular redraft to let somebody else take him, hope he starts out slow like that for the first 5 or 6 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, and then you trade the guy. Then you trade for him, because his value is going to be lower at that point, and you can get him for much cheaper.
Absolutely.
All right, so speaking of wide receivers that we would rather draft, we're going to move on to the wide receiver position now. I'm going to kick things off, because I need you guys to talk to me. Maybe it's the pessimistic Homer in me, but I just don't know. Like, I don't have a clear feeling on Juju Smith-Schuster this year. He's currently going at wide receiver 14 in the fourth round, I believe. I just, like I said, I just really don't. He's going at the end of the third. He's going at 312. With Juju, I just don't know. I just don't know how to feel about him. I think it's partly a Ben thing. I think it's partly we have never seen Juju have to operate as the unquestioned guy, and I don't see anyone that's going to be taking a lot of, you know, a lot of attention off of him on the outside. Like, yes, Juju Smith-Schuster blew it up 2 years ago, but he had Antonio fucking Brown playing on the outside of him and taking double teams consistently. So, like, I do think he's talented. He's obviously young. He has a rapport with Ben, but, like, I don't know. Wide receiver 14, like, I guess I'm okay with it, but I don't have strong feelings on him. Can one of you guys
– Let me ask you this. Well, you already know how I feel. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is in for a big-time bounce back this year. And I wish he was going a little bit later, because I was hoping, but he's not. He's still going relatively high. But what did you think about him entering last year?
Same questions. I didn't know if he'd be able to operate as the true alpha and have all of the defense's attention on him. And then we didn't, like, that was an answer for us whatsoever with the way that.
Well,
like,
yeah, because Big Ben got hurt, and that's the ultimate question. As long as Big Ben stays healthy, I think it's wheels up for Juju. Because I love Deontay Johnson. We already know this, and I think that he is going to take another big step forward this year. And let's be honest, it's a contract year for old Juju, right? But and, you know, contract year is undefeated. So he's gonna play in the slot. He actually played more in the slot last year than he did the year before. He operated, I think it was 66% of the snaps from the slot last year. His biggest problem, and the entire offense's biggest fucking problem, was, you know, they had Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph back there. All reports are that Big Ben looks healthy, and, you know, I haven't really talked a whole lot about, you know, I haven't heard a whole lot about, like, his arm strength doesn't look like it's there, or, you know, it sounds like he still has it. So if he does, and if they can keep him healthy, like, I think this offense could end up being the big, you know, one of the big bounce back offenses, you know, heading into this year, where this team gets much more looks much more like the, you know, the previous years of the Steelers than what we saw last year, because last year was a dumpster fire. So they have all the pieces, right? I mean, like I said, Juju, Deontay Johnson, you know, if James Washington could take another step forward as the field stretcher, they brought in Chase Claypool. You know, James Conner is still there. Anthony McFarland, who, love that dude still. So for me, I think that's kind of what you look at and with this offense. So if you feel confident in Big Ben staying healthy, you should have no problem taking Juju, because I think that he, again, has top five upside this year, especially operating from the slot. He's going to be peppered with targets. They're going to throw the ball more this year, you know, if Big Ben stays healthy. So that's really my only concern. But other than that, I love Juju heading into this year.
Yeah, for me, it's not a anti-Juju.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thing, it's just there are other wide receivers that I'd rather have in that range. I mean, Cooper Kupp is the guy, and he's going behind him. Calvin Ridley, I'd rather have. Tyler Lockett, Robert Woods, for sure. Robert Woods. You know, there's just too many wide receivers that are going in that exact same range where I won't have Juju on any of my teams. He's kind of that, I wouldn't say boom or bust, but he definitely, we've seen the risks now with him, and we've seen what he can do at his peak. So where does he finish in between there? Is it kind of in the upper echelon, you know, 120, 130 targets? Can he get up there? Or is he more just the 115, 110 targets where, you know, they're trying to involve some of these other weapons that you just named a little bit more? Because they have a ton of these weapons, and maybe it's not like, you know, just one is taking him down, but just, you know, death by 100 stabs there. It's just all of them taking a little chunk here, 60 targets here, 70 targets here, 80 targets there. And
I think Juju can hit 140, 150 in terms of targets.
Yeah, I just think they brought in too many other weapons for them to have him as like that guy, like DeAndre Hopkins, 150. Like, that's just too much where I can't project that high. I think he's more in the 120, 125. And then it's, what can he do with that? We've seen the talent, and this is not, like I said at the beginning, it's not anti-Juju. There's just other guys I'd rather have going in the same spot.
For me, it would be, I definitely would rather have Cooper Kupp. I am super high on Cooper Kupp this year, like everybody else should be. And that's probably
Calvin Ridley. I mean, they're going to throw 620 times, man. Like, I want to talk about someone who can get 130 targets.
True, but he's also, but we've had this discussion with Calvin Ridley, and my thing with Calvin Ridley is this situation isn't any different than it was last year. None. There's absolutely nothing different here in this scenario. But he never got those targets. They threw the ball a ton last year, right? And I mean, yes, he still finished well, and like. But my biggest issue is that we're all projecting like there's going to be this huge spike in opportunity, but nothing's really changed in this offense. Like, Julio's still there. It's still Calvin Ridley. Hayden Hurst likely, you know, takes the majority of what Austin Hooper does. That would be where you would have to, okay, if you think Hayden Hurst, for example, is not going to get all those targets that Austin Hooper has, and they're going to flow to Calvin Ridley. That would be about it. Other than that, like, I don't know where this huge bump is coming from, because they are already, what, I think number one in pass plays per game, or top three in pass plays per game. So where is that extra volume coming from for him to get that high, for him to continue to get that high for Calvin Ridley? I like Calvin Ridley, don't get me wrong. I think I have him at like wide receiver 16. But I would just rather have Juju Smith-Schuster, where I know he is the unquestioned one in that offense. He's still going to command the highest target share, and you cannot say that about Calvin Ridley. So that's my issue. That's the only thing with Calvin Ridley. Like, I'm a little more hesitant on Calvin Ridley than I think other people are. I don't think I'm too low on him. Like I said, wide receiver 16, but I would just prefer Juju over him.
Yeah, they're close for me. So I'm not going to argue one way or another. They're close. I'd probably just take that upside and that passing offense. They're probably going to throw 60 more times, and I just think that the upside's there. So we can hit the next guy, Cody. I don't know who's going next.
Well, why don't you go next, Mr. Antsy Pants?
Absolutely. You guys know I love Robert Woods. I would love to sit here and talk over the same talking points I think I say on every single pod about Robert Woods, but I've said it all, and I don't want to bore people. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit, go with another guy I'm very high on, because I feel like you guys are saying, you know, people aren't worth these ADPs. We've had a lot of anti, don't draft these guys. I got to bring us back up here, guys that we should draft, good value guys. And Terry McLaurin is just that. Like, you want to talk about guys that are just absolutely undervalued right now. Terry McLaurin, you can get him what? I just saw the ADP, and I forgot already. We're talking like sixth, end of the sixth, early seventh round, which is just crazy for the upside that he can have. We want to talk about guys who can just be the target hog in their offense. I mean, if you're not talking the elite guys in the top five or the top four, then this guy is right there, going to get, you know, 130-ish targets, because they don't have anybody else. They have rookies and Antonio Gibson, AGG, and they have
Steven Sims.
Steven Sims, who is a good player, right? But that offense is going to run through Terry McLaurin. I honestly don't have a ton to say about it.
It's crazy with him. Well, it's crazy with the wide receivers in general, right? Because a lot of these guys that we're all super high on, everyone loves Terry McLaurin. I don't know anybody that doesn't. But, like, it's crazy to think, like, man, he should be going, what, sixth, seventh round? Like, that's ridiculous. He should be a guy going in, like, the fourth round, right? But because of running backs has been pushed so far up this year, it has pushed all the wide receivers so far back that you can take some of these wide receivers. And so it's crazy. Like, I feel like after this year that we are going to look back and people are going to be laughing about how many busts that there are in the early rounds because of all these running backs that are going so ridiculously high that we typically don't see in years past. That's probably going to be the theme. But like I said, I got nothing bad to say about Terry. I love Terry McLaurin. I still think that he was the best wide receiver of last year's class, and I think he's going to be the best wide receiver of last year. I think that dude's an absolute baller. So I guess we can just keep it moving to the next one.
Kev, yeah, okay. Go.
Hey, you don't tell me what to fucking do. Anyways, speaking of wide receiver, so an early wide – let's talk about the early round wide receivers, right? Because of all the guys that have been pushed down, like, I feel like that's where all the spotlight's on. But in terms of Julio, Tyreek, DeAndre Hopkins, like, these guys don't really know. You don't hear anybody talking about them because, like, I don't think anybody want, like, everybody wants to take those running backs early. And so, like, nobody's really talking about those wide receivers that are going there early. Obviously, Michael Thomas and Davante Adams are kind of the two unquestioned guys at the top. But, you know, the Tyreeks, the Julios, and DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe even if you want to include, like, a Chris Godwin in that conversation. But for me, like, I feel like those guys aren't being valued. So where would you guys – where are you guys coming in on those three? Where would you rank them? Where would you want them in terms of
– For, like, the top three guys that you just listed?
Yes. Tyreek, Julio, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, yeah, I guess that's not my top three, so I just wanted to confirm.
Well, I'm saying the next tier of where guys are going in ADP, it's Tyreek and it's Julio and it's DeAndre
Hopkins. Yeah, for sure. I think Julio is just being slept on then at that point. I mean, the value is a lot smaller when you're talking about end of first to start a second, because you're not going to get one if you have an end of the round pick versus and if you're picking early in the draft, you're probably going to get one. But yeah, I think Julio needs to be up there, just kind of repeating what I said about the Falcons. They're going to throw the most again probably next year, them and the Rams, you know, in the, you know, low 600s, and he's the number one guy. And, you know, he's kind of finally figured out that touchdown issue of only getting, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 early in his career, and now he's, you know, up there at 7 and 8. So, you know, if you're talking about someone to lead the league in targets this year, and if it's not Michael Thomas, it's going to be Julio. So, yeah, I have Julio projected as the number one wide receiver, with Michael Thomas coming in right behind him at wide receiver two. So that's my order, is Julio, Michael Thomas, then Adams, with Tyreek at four.
That's ridiculous. Cody, you go. I can't even.
What, his top three ranking?
Tyreek being at four, that's blasphemous.
Chiefs fan doesn't like that.
I get it, because I think he's more volatile than those other guys.
I was busting his balls, Cody, okay?
Well, you know what? You come in here, you call us peasants, you say, Daddy's here. You know what? It's time to get your fucking balls busted, Buster. And that's how we're going to do that.
All right, well, where are you on those three guys?
I forget who the three are. You said D-Hop.
Don't forget who will chastise you if you forget the
Julio,
three guys.
Julio, Tyreek, are you listening to the show? Or you could look at the show.
No, I'm not. I'm not listening to the show because I'm...
All right. Tyreek, Julio, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Julio, Tyreek, D-Hop.
Excellent analysis.
Well, we're already an hour into it. We still have the Tyreek to go through. We have a question here from Josh Twenter, who jumped into the YouTube chat. He has a 2QB league. Two of his three have the same bye week. Off of waivers, who should he snag now? Rivers, Tyrod, Fitz, Darnold, Foles, or Haskins?
Yeah, I think you look at the week five matchups there would be my first thing. I don't have them off the top of my head. I'm going to try and pull them up here, but
I can't believe that all those quarterbacks are available in a two quarterback league. Seems like a lot, pretty decent options for a 2QB league.
Yeah. Hashtag analysis here. Just look at the matchups. I'd say anyone facing the Jets, anyone facing the Dolphins. Dolphins have a little bit better of a defense, but look for those defenses who have been doing poorly, or I guess you're trying to pick them up right now. Look for defenses that are projected to do poorly, and I would just find the best matchup there, honestly, because a lot of those guys, they're all in the same range, so you could pick the wrong one, honestly. But I think what you're doing there is almost going DFS style, which you're just strictly looking at the matchup. If the matchup changes and you see one of those other guys, this defense really starts sucking through the first 4 weeks, switch them out. It would be my best advice on that.
All right, so, to answer this a little bit more clearly, the Chargers play the Saints on Monday Night Football Week 5. So for Tyrod, then you have Phillip Rivers who's going to be playing the Browns. Who are the other options? Darnold is playing the Cardinals, and Haskins.
Fitz is playing the Niners.
And then the Bears are playing the Bucks on Thursday Night Football.
And Washington has the Rams.
Not great.
I mean, it's tough to try to project week five now, but for me, like if I had to pick today, and I would probably want to grab one of them because those guys are probably going to be picked up quickly. It probably would be
Rivers
facing
the Chiefs. I mean, they're going to, am I looking at the wrong one? Who are the Colts facing?
Browns.
I think I'll go Rivers there. I think that's the best matchup.
Yeah. I mean, that defense is really good. Or should be really good for the Browns.
Well, they just lost two of the defensive pieces.
I think Darnold is also pretty interesting, though. Going against the Cardinals, they're going to have to score points. They're going to be in negative game scripts. So they're going to have to throw the ball a ton in that game. Like, I could talk myself into Sam Darnold as well, but it's tough to trust anything with Adam Gase. So, yeah, I'd probably go Rivers. It'd be either Rivers or Darnold for me.
You're going to get a bunch of DGAF balls from Fitz going up against the 49ers as well. I guess that also depend on how penalized you get for interceptions as well. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the tight end. Robbie, why don't you throw someone out here? Who do you want to talk about a tight end? What ADP price check are you checking?
You know, I'm a little nervous to bring this one up after how well the early QB one went, kind of dipping back into that same well and saying, I'm all about the late round tight end. And that works well if you hit the right guy, right? If you got the Darren Waller last year, you were stoked. But most other guys didn't quite. If you were thinking Ian Thomas was going to be that breakout, nope. Janu kind of got there, but not quite. Now this year, Kev loves Janu. I love Blake Jarwin. You love Chris Herndon. I think those are three awesome guys to go. But if you want to just lock in a guy and not play the stream, not worry about it, set and forget it. I think it's okay to go these other positions early how far back they're going. And at the end of the second round, if you can sneak George Kittle, if you have that swing pick and you can take him at the 301, maybe even 302 spot, I think George Kittle needs to be seriously considered there. This is a guy who was outpacing Kelsey last year, obviously got hurt for a couple weeks there. And now we have nobody at wide receiver. Debo is questionable for week one. Brandon Ayuk is out. Jalen Hurd's done for the year. So we're talking Trent Taylor and Tavon Austin are leading that wide receiver core right now. And that can change for sure. But remember, Ayuk's still a rookie. Garoppolo has eyes for Kittle, like first, second, and third option is Kittle. So, you know, Kittle only twice last year had under 54 yards and only four times had less than six receptions. So, I mean, that's just consistent. You know, how many times are these, even if these tight ends start to hit, these late round guys, they're going to have 4, 5, 6 weeks where they're 3 for 34, you know, 4 for 30. They're going to have a lot of these dead weeks. And Kittle is just a guy that I think is always going to be consistent and then will give you boom weeks. He's got to fix that touchdown problem. He only had 5 last year on 85 receptions, but I do think he fixes that this year. They up that TD percentage a little bit. So yeah, taking Kittle with that 301, 302, if you're able to sneak him, I'd even consider him at 211. And when you can kind of flip around and get that running back at 302, depending on how your draft goes. He was going to be wide receiver 7. He was pacing as wide receiver 7, if you want to just compare him to wide receivers. So if you look at where those wide receivers are going, you know, that's basically where they're going. So he should be considered in that mold as a tight end that you won't have to worry about. You won't have to play the waiver wire game and waste a roster spot on a backup or anything like that. Just plug and play. I'm going to advocate for Kittle there.
The only tough part, I guess, what I would say is for devil's advocate part of that is that because of how much running backs are being taken off the board, by taking a running back that, or by, again, by passing a running back, you are now into that, you're going to be into that Todd Gurley range of all those running backs that we discussed earlier about maybe that you'd be afraid of taking as your second running back. And so that would be my only concern with taking, you know, George Kittle. George Kittle's a baller. I personally, if I was going to do it, I'd rather have Mark Andrews is going almost a round later, who I think has the same, I think definitely has the same ceiling as George Kittle does. And if I can get him around later, and again, you know, take those two running backs and then grab Mark Andrews, and then because of how much wide receiver has been pushed down, then you can still grab so many talented wide receivers later. And so that is kind of the way I look at it. So I don't hate it. You know, I get where you're coming from. And, you know, those 1v1 positions those onesie positions where you, especially with positional scarcity, because in most years, I know this year we love all these tight ends and I hope it works out because it's been a while since we've had like, to really be able to, because most of the years it's like a guy gets 500 yards and 4 touchdowns and he's a tight end right. One, which is fucking awful, right? Like, this is terrible. And hopefully we're seeing a renaissance at the tight end position, right? Because I think all of us, you know, like you all mentioned the three guys, Noah Fant, Mike Gesicki, like so many of these guys that we really like here as late round tight end options. But I get what you're saying. Like, you can take it to the bank that George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and really I think Mark Andrews are all kind of locked in for that every week you can almost expect them to get that 10 to 15 fantasy points per week.
The crazy thing with Kittle, too, is 2 years ago he had 1,300 yards. Last year he had over 1,000 yards and still only 5 touchdowns in both those years. So if he gets that touchdown luck and that positive touchdown regression, because he should be having more than 5 touchdowns with the yards and the receptions that he's getting, he could just absolutely smash.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you also made a point that I'm not even sure if you meant to make it, but his yards per catch went down last year. Yeah, he went from 15.4 in 2018 to 12.4 in 2019. I honestly think that's going to tick back up, you know, play a little bit injured kind of coming back from that. But, yeah, I think he increases the yardage from last year. And I definitely think even if he doesn't get up to, like, the 9-10 range, I think he's getting more than 5. You know, 7-8 would be great. And then you're just talking about a guy that's going to pace himself. The only guy that's going to be near him is Kelce, in my opinion. They're tiers above Andrews and Ertz, and then at that point you're getting him a whole round later than Kelce, sometimes a round and a half later than Kelce. I think that value is really good at where it is. And again, this is going off of a lot of people think like Kev, and I definitely have drafts where I go with that. Wait on tight end, wait on, you just load up on the other two. And if you're in that draft where everyone's doing that, I think that's what pushes these guys past the ADP we're even talking about. So you're talking about later than what we're saying at the end of the second or early third. He can be a mid third, you know, going back to Dak, he can be a fifth round or even early sixth round. So I think that's when you really capitalize on those, when everybody's kind of fading those positions.
So Robbie brought up the point of we've been negative. We've been talking about all the guys that we don't want to draft at their ADPs. So I'm going to switch up my answer. I did originally have Darren Waller written down here. He's going in the fifth round. I can't do that, so I'll just leave it at that. But the guy that I will talk about that I do love his ADP, love where he's going, and that is tight end Mike Gesicki out of tight end U at Penn State, going at tight end 14 at 10-11. If you just look at what options they have, they're going to be playing from behind a bunch. I don't think it's going to matter too much whether it's Tua, and that's not looking super likely at this point, but especially if it's Fitzpatrick for the entire year, just all those DGAF YOLO balls. It's Preston Williams, it's Devontae Parker, and then who do they have after that? That volume is going to have to go somewhere. We saw what this coaching staff did last year with Gesicki, with moving him and putting him more in a slot and detaching him out wide versus what Adam Gase was doing, which Adam Gase gets a super athletic tight end who could not block in college, and he decides, you know what, buddy, it's time for you to learn in your rookie year how to block. We're just going to line you up, attach you to a tackle, and you are going to block. And that did not go well. So Mike Gesicki going there toward the end of the 10th. Love that ADP. Robbie, obviously, at the beginning of this, rattled off all of the later round tight ends that each of us love. But here's another late tight end option for you, Mike Gesicki. Kev, I think I know how you feel about Gesicki. Robbie, what say you?
Yeah, I think Gesicki has just the ability to get like 85-ish targets. And I think for tight end, that's going to, you know, have him as a low end wide receiver one. I think his catch percentage was kind of poor last year. I can't remember exactly, but I think if he just improves on that a little bit, I think you're talking about a mid 50s catch season for him. I haven't projected at 88 targets, 56 receptions, 631 yards and 5 touchdowns. So that brings him in, you know, right at tight end 13 for me. So he's kind of right on that cusp, and all these guys, you know, from tight end 10 to like 18 are all like 5 points apart. So like tight end 13 is literally the same as tight end 8. It's a couple yards here or there. So yeah, I think he absolutely has that potential, just because the Dolphins defense did get better, but Fitzpatrick airs it out. And I do not think they're going to go to Tua, at least from the training camp stuff we've been following. It's clear that they've been struggling when he and Rosen, maybe not just struggling, but he's not in the same tier right now as Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it'll take a couple of Fitzy going full Fitzy on you with those 3 interception games for that to change. And I think, honestly, just Mike Gesicki is going to, you know, benefit from Fitzmagic being the quarterback there.
You know, I could go so many different directions here. We've talked about so many tight ends, but I'm gonna bring one to the table that, you know, the ADP I like is the undrafted ADP guys. The one that's not on anybody's radar. The one that's not being drafted anywhere. The one that is the tight end one on a pretty solid offense. That's Dan motherfucking Arnold, okay? Dan motherfucking Arnold. So listen to this, okay? He is now the unquestioned tight end one in that offense.
Is
right?
He? Max Williams is running with the ones.
As a tight end one, yes. Well, apparently you haven't been following the news that we put out every day, but Max Williams is not even with the team right now. He is taking care of some
things.
Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know, but regardless, I don't care if Max Williams is there, because Max Williams is a blocking tight end. He can do whatever he wants. Like, he is not a receiving threat. He's not. So Dan Arnold is the receiving tight end in that offense. I'm all about that life. I'm all about, because they are going to spread that offense around, spread the ball around. And so I think Dan Arnold is somebody that people should be paying attention to. Okay, I think he's going to come out week one, haul in 60 yards and 2 tutties, and people are going to be running to the waiver wire to pick up Dan Arnold. I like Dan Arnold. I think Dan Arnold is being slept on. I think he should be higher in people's rankings. I'm about that life. So at the very least, people need to at least be paying attention and monitoring Dan Arnold, because it is Dan Arnold season.
We need to get another bet.
By the way, Dan Arnold is $3,500 on DraftKings for week one. So if people, you know.
There it is. Throw a little DFS there. Yeah, Kev, we're going to need to get another bet then, since our other one's already fallen through the cracks for you. I think we need to talk about Arnold's targets, because I do not see it being over 40 targets for him is kind of the max I see. Do you see him getting a lot more involved in that offense past that, or what's his road to success?
I'm not saying I think he's going to get like 100 targets this year at all. Like, I think probably 60 targets maybe. I think it's fair.
3 for 75 and a tutty every single week for Dan Arnold.
listen, he and in all reality, he's not somebody that I would draft, but he is definitely somebody that I'd have on my radar. And certainly if I'm streaming tight end on certain matchups, like, he's somebody that I would have some interest in, because I do think that he is going to have somewhat of a role in this offense. Like, again, I think he is going to be the receiving tight end. He is a super athletic dude. And his biggest problem when he was in New Orleans was,
not being good.
No, that was not. I think they had said that he every once in a while he would have lapse in his concentration and he would run the wrong route, and so obviously that did not sit well with them. But I mean, they picked him up off of restricted as a restricted free, or once they dropped him, they picked him up through waivers, and mm-hmm. I mean, he caught on pretty quickly late last year. I think he had 2 touchdowns in like 2 of the last 4 games, so. You know, I like Dan Arnold as kind of just a late round guy. If you're in a super deep league, a 16 team league, you know, those where the player pool gets drained very quickly, and there's not a lot of guys left. Like, Dan Arnold is somebody that I would want to have on my roster and something like that. And it's traditional 12 team league. I'm not drafting Dan Arnold, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on him.
I'll talk for Scoop here. He's asking about Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is a guy that, you know, I could have easily put down on this list as some guy that I love where he's going, honestly. He's down at tight end 11. We're talking 10th round. So I've seen some people reach for him, and that's the only times where I miss out on Hayden Hurst. He's a guy that, you know, just we've already talked about the Falcons offense like 3 different times tonight, but they're going to have 620 targets. And after Julio and after Calvin Ridley, it's a huge drop off. And so who's going to fill that void? And Matt Ryan loves his tight end. If you want to talk about a more athletic version of Austin Hooper, honestly, what I think is a better player than Austin Hooper, that enter Hayden Hurst. And so, yeah, I think he's going to get, you know, 85-ish targets and just, you know, ball out with Matt Ryan, who loves his tight end. So if you want an upside guy that you get late, maybe not as late as we've been talking about with some of these other guys, but like maybe a mid to late kind of round guy that can easily finish, you know, top 6, top 7 in tight end, Hayden Hurst, the guy for me. Love that.
Yeah, Hurst is going in the 10th round in 10-team leagues, and he's going at 809 in 12-team leagues, which I don't mind, but if you draft him at 809, like, you are saying, like, for sure that he is just stepping into that Austin Hooper role, and he's going to get the same opportunity and the same target, which I definitely believe he can. I think he's definitely the more athletic tight end versus Hooper, even though their combined results don't bear that out as much. But if you watch them, I just think Hayden Hurst just moves better. Matt Ryan has already come out and he said on a couple of different occasions that that's something that really jumped out to him, which is how well he moved and his athleticism. So Hayden Hurst is definitely somebody to keep an eye on. And this is another instance where I feel like in your home leagues, in your general, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, just grabbing the stickers and just looking down the list of your, you know, your ESPN top 300, that he might go later than this tight end 11 spot. So I think in your home leagues, I think he's going to be a better value than where he's currently going at 809. Boys, we did it. We talked about fucking training camp and Dak Prescott for 25 minutes, and then we somehow banged the rest of that out, and we finished under 2.5 hours. You know, that's how our pace was looking early on. You guys have anything else you want to say? Any other tidbits you want to get off here?
I'll just go quickly. I think the biggest thing, and Kev hit it with one of his points, is to make sure you're being fluid with some of your thoughts. Like, don't get stuck in what you thought about a player for multiple years. And a great example for me is Keenan Allen. I've been a huge Keenan Allen guy. I've loved him for years and years, but I have to kind of pull the reins back a little bit because that information has changed and that offense has changed. So just kind of think about either guys you've really disliked or guys you've really liked, and just kind of maybe listen to a pod that has the opposite view, taking that information and adjust where you need to adjust. But also, if you feel like you're really strong on that opinion, you know, and you have reasons to back it up, I think that's the big thing. It's fine to kind of stay put, but I think making sure you take in the other side of that land or the other side of the argument is a good thing to do, especially around draft season.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sammy Watkins is still going to be a top 24 wide receiver this year.
If Devontae Adams can do it, anyone can.
Kev, any last parting thoughts, words of wisdom? You know, since you are the father, any fatherly advice that you wanna give out? Since you know you came in strutting your stuff, said daddy's home. Any fatherly advice? Any words of wisdom? Real quick, Emmy Award winner Carl Jr. in the building. Sammy Will's up. If an Emmy Award winner, three-time Emmy Award winner, is saying Sammy Will's up. You can't. He has trophies. Carl Jr., David Berger of Dialed In podcast fame. Sammy Will's up.
That's the second first reference all, for said podcast.
If you ever interrupt me again like that, you will be grounded. Okay, you never interrupt me. Well, I will mute you.
This is my second beer. What are you gonna do, Dad?
I think you've had too much.
Not going to bed till 1 a.m.
All I'm going to say is this. All I'm going to say is this. Is do not draft a quarterback early. Ever. Do not draft a quarterback early in the top 5 rounds of a draft. Ever. Don't do it. And do not draft. I'll say it again. I've said it on the other shows, and I'll say it again. We're going to keep hammering this point home until people understand it. You do not draft Larry Fitzgerald and all those bums in the later rounds. You draft upside. If I see anybody drafting any of those dudes, just don't talk to me, okay? Because those guys are a wasted pick. They're going to get you like 2 or 3. They'll have like 4 or 5 weeks where they'll get you some production and everything else. They'll make you feel all warm inside. But there's no upside. The upside's gone. When you're in the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, We're looking for championships, boys. It's championship hunting season, right? We don't win championships by your draft, of course, but you certainly can lose it. And so that's all I'm going to say. Let's win championships. That's what we're here for, right, boys and girls, is to win championships, win that money, whether it's in DFS, whoever plays Dynasty, and season-long leagues, okay? So let's do it. Let's win some championships. Follow along. Hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube or wherever you're at, wherever you listen to this at. And let's win some championships. Let's go.
Really trying to fuck with Hollywood Cole. I'm with Marla G, bro. Flying Holly Grove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow. And my real friends never hear it from me. Fake friends write the wrong answers on the mirror for me. That's why I pick and choose. I don't get shit confused. I got a small circle. I'm not with different crews. We walk the same path, but got on different shoes. Live in the same building, but we got different views. I got a couple cars I never get to use. Don't like my women single. I like my chicks in twos. And these days, all the girls is down the road. I hit the strip club and all them bitches find a pole. Plus, I've been sipping, so this shit is moving kinda slow. Just tell my girl to tell a friend that it's time to go. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and only heaven's right above it. We own. It's your money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees whipping like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dick. I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot first. Meet me on the fresh train. Yes, I'm in the building. You just on the list of guest names. And all of my riders do not give a fuck. X Games. Guns turn you boys into pussies. Sex change. And I smoke till I got chest pains. And you niggas know I rep my gang like Jesse James. Women are possessive and they wanna possess Wayne. I've been fly so long I fell asleep on the fucking plane. Skinny pants and some Vans. Call me Triple A, get my advance in advance. Amen. As the world spinning, dance in my hands. Life is a beach, I'm just playing in the sand. Wake up and smell a pussy. You niggas can't see me, but never overlook me. I'm on the paper trail and ain't no telling where it took me. Yeah, and I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and only heaven's right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like ever said. Beautiful black woman, I bet that bitch look better red. Whipping off tour cause I made more off my second leg. Motherfucking Birdman Jr., 11th grade. Ball on automatic start. I can hand it to Drake or do a quarterback draw. Wildcat offense, check the paw prints. We in the building, you niggas in apartments. Now come on, be my blood donor. Flow so nice, you ain't gotta put a rug on her. Do it big and let the small fall under that. Damn, where you stumbled at? From where they make gumbo at? Hang at the fucking beat, jumping like a jumping jack. And you know me, I get on this bitch and have a heart attack. Hip hop, I'm the heart of that. Nigga, nothing short of that. President Carter, young money Democrat. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and all the heavens right above it. We own it's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shoot it. And I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot first.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.